Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the show, if you want to listen ad-free, go to gzmshows.com/subscribers. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hi, this is Bebop RoboMogo Wanatron here, and I want to thank you for joining me on these adventures these past weeks. The stories that I've been calling
Johnny Tales, reading comics and eating salads made of kale. Johnny Tales.
What was that?
What was what?
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what's going on here, my intro human, Jonathan Messenger, who's on vacation, is apparently calling into the studio today and joining the show. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Bebop.
So, what is this Johnny Tales you were singing about?
Well, your show has been such a hit, I thought maybe I should start telling stories from my life.
Stories like eating kale salads?
Yep.
Okay, that is not a story. That is an appetizer. And second of all, look, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but maybe just don't sing when anybody could ever possibly hear you.
You know, that's kind of funny. That's the same thing that Griffin always says.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to continue with my season finale of Bebop Tales.
Johnny Tales!
No, okay. Boy, you're in a mood today. So, in the last episode, Pandolf and I were joined by a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and we were standing on the slope of Baron's Volcano.
So we have some questions here from listeners.
Wait. Jonathan, what are you doing?
Oh, I was going to ask you some listener questions.
Okay, that's fine, but, you know, it's kind of rude to talk over me like that.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry, Bebop. I've been on vacation for a month now, and I'm a little out of practice.
It's okay.
Okay, so we got two listeners who asked the same question. Both Natasha from Chicago and Jacob from Dunville in Ontario, Canada, want to know how you invented laser shoes.
You know, it's funny you say that, Jonathan. I actually had planned to tell the story of the invention of laser shoes in the last episode, but I had to cut it for time. It was just kind of a long story.
Well, can you make it shorter?
How short?
Give it to me in 5 words.
5 words? Okay. Espionage. Time police. Balloon animals.
Espionage, time police, balloon animals? Well, now I really want to hear that story. All right, maybe we're going to have to do a second season of Bebop Tales. Okay, and the last question for today comes from Gabriel from Madison, Wisconsin. And he wants to know, do you ever have any peaceful moments?
Well, that's what you and I have together, Jonathan. These peaceful moments. I will cherish them forever.
Aw, thanks, Bebop. That means a lot. You know, I feel the same way about...
But you're not letting me enjoy these peaceful moments with your interruptions. Now, please, may I get on with my story?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, well, could you please maybe hang up?
Hang up? Why?
I have to do something. It's a little weird to do it in front of you.
Why? You just said you cherish our moments together.
Okay, but maybe just block your ears for a second. All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Messenger.
Whoa. What was that?
That was my impression of you.
Oh, wow. That needs a lot of work.
Okay, hold on.
I'm Jonathan Messenger.
Bebop.
I'm Jonathan Messenger.
Okay, don't say anything. This is the part you're really not going to like.
It's okay, Bebop. It's all in fun. I'm not offended.
Okay, good. Here we go.
Hi, I'm...
Don't say ham.
I'm Jonathan Messenger.
Bebop?
Yes, Jonathan?
Did you just say Jonathan Messenger?
Oops, looks like we lost connection to
Jonathan.
And oh, look at that. My impression is now spot on. Okay, let's get started with episode 5 of Bebop Tales, the grand finale, putting the lock in Warlock. Bebop, Pandolf, and the T-Rex all stared up at the mouth of the volcano, shooting molten lava, ash, and smoke high into the sky.
I think I'd melt if I tried to go in there,
said Bebop.
I think it would singe all the fur right off my belly,
said Pandolf.
We have these things all the time where I'm from,
said the dinosaur.
So you want to lead the way then?
Happy to.
The T-Rex began marching up the mountain, Bebop and Pandolf following slowly behind, carefully watching the lava. And after a few minutes, the dino turned around.
Actually, don't you guys notice something a little strange about the volcano? Like, if it's really a volcano and that is really lava pouring down the mountain, then why aren't we all baking? We should be a plate of fried heroes by now.
You're right,
said Pandolf.
It must be...
Oh no, don't say it.
Sorcery. I was going to say it must be sorcery.
But Pandolf was right. The evil warlock baron's volcano was enchanted. And as the three friends climbed higher and higher, they got colder and colder, like they were climbing any mountain, not a fiery volcano. And as they got closer, the volcano got louder and louder. But rather than the roar of an inferno, it was all bleeps and bloops.
It's like a hologram,
said Bebop.
And really not a very good one.
In fact, the lava from the volcano, the ash and the smoke, it all seemed to be fading, breaking up and disintegrating into square pixels right before their eyes. Eventually, the lava flow stopped as though someone had pulled a plug. They peered down into the mouth of the volcano, but instead of a magma chamber, they saw a lazy boy chair. A couple of old computers sat on desks, a few braided throw blankets draped over couches. It looked like the living room of someone who never really grew up.
Should we jump down?
Said the dinosaur.
I don't know. I think we should be cautious,
said Pandolf.
You never know what magic a warlock like Baron has in store for you.
Well, I don't see any ankylosauruses down there or anything, so doesn't look like anything to be scared of. Let's go.
The dinosaur grabbed hold of Pandolf and Bebop and leapt down into the living room. The three walked around inside the volcano, which they were quickly realizing was just an old, large house. They passed through bedrooms with unmade beds, bathrooms with the toilet seats left up, a kitchen with pizza boxes lying on the floor. Flies buzzed around the greasy cardboard and seemed to crawl over nearly every surface.
Are you guys getting the feeling that we're in the wrong volcano?
Said Bebop.
Nope,
said Pandolf from one room over.
Is this the type of thing you were talking about?
Bebop and the dinosaur entered a dark room, lit by the black light in a large fish tank. Bebop peered into the glass, and swimming inside was a tiny, mutant whale.
Hey, I know you,
said Bebop.
You ate my surfboard.
But the whale just calmly hummed and swam under a loop of coral.
I mean, this is weird, right? We're supposed to be fighting this big, evil bad guy who's been terrorizing us this whole time.
But instead, you're just in my old, dilapidated home.
A tall, thin man in a long, midnight blue robe walked into the room.
Baron,
said Bebop.
The one and the same. The mighty, evil warlock Baron. Undone at every turn by a robot named Tiny.
No, that's not really.
And now you've discovered my secret. My powers are fading. I have some good tricks up my sleeve, you have to admit. Sending the world's art to conquer the world for me. The little whales like my friend over there. And I thought it was quite clever mixing robotics with magic in the battle at the Panda Castle. Even this fake volcano. But when you're beaten, you're beaten. No one had ever punctured my time-bounce shield before, so I surrender. Lock me up, throw away the key. Tell that horrid Dr. Percolator that he finally won.
Bebop watched the warlock carefully. Something didn't feel right about the situation.
Wait, you're just giving up? You want us to capture you?
I don't want it, no, but I don't see how there's really any choice. When you're beaten, you're beaten.
Yeah, you said that already.
No one had ever punctured my surrender.
What?
Lock the key. Throw me up. Tell that horrid little whale percolator you're beaten.
All three of them realized at once that the Baron in front of them was a fake. Another one of Baron's enchanted robots. It started ticking and walking toward the three friends, its eyes glowing.
I'll get rid of this thing,
said the dinosaur, chomping down on the robot and bounding out of the room.
Did you really think you could come into my house and defeat me?
Said the real Baron, stepping in from another doorway. He looked just like the robot version. Same gray hair, same midnight blue robe, same tall, thin frame.
Haven't you learned by now that I can never be defeated?
You mean except all the times I've already defeated you?
Said Bebop.
You defeated my minions. You did not defeat me.
Oh, whatever,
said Pandolf.
The volcano, the robots, you're not a real wizard. You just do fake magic. You're an illusionist.
Fake magic? What do you call this?
Suddenly, the flies from the empty pizza boxes and the nooks and crannies of the broken walls and the ceiling began to buzz around Baron. And as the flies collected, Baron seemed to grow larger and larger. Pandolf grabbed a dirty spoon from the floor and he held it up, pointing it at the warlock.
I'll show you how a real wizard does magic. Incendious!
A fireball shot out of the spoon straight at Baron, but it had no effect. The flies absorbed it like it was water on a sponge.
Luminous!
But the lightning bolt that sparked from the end of his spoon found the same fate pouring into the cloud of flies around Baron, but not stopping him at all. Baron grew even larger, and the flies began to buzz away from him and attack Pandolf and Bebop. Bebop batted them away, but he could feel them slipping into the seams of his metal body and biting at the wires inside.
Pandolf, do something.
But Pandolf was fighting away the flies too, hollering,
Incendious! Luminous! Luminous! Incendious! Oh, it's no use.
Use your other spell.
Fast forward? I told you, I don't like spoilers.
No, not that one. The other one.
Oh, right.
Pandolf stopped swatting at the flies, and he held his spoon up high and shouted, A frog fell out of his armpit. It immediately started eating up the flies around Pandolf.
Frogius?
Pandolf yelled again, and a frog fell out of his ear and immediately began eating the flies. Pandolf spun and whirled around, yelling,
Frogius? And a Frogius for you, and a little Frogius for you.
He turned and smiled at Bebop.
Magic!
And in no time, an army of frogs was eating all of the flies around Baron's home, and the ones that swarmed around his robe. And as the flies began to disappear, Baron began to shrink. He got smaller and smaller and smaller until he was the size of a shoebox.
How dare you! I had this all planned out. Dominate this world and then never have to skip to another universe again.
Wait,
said Bebop, who was moving a little slowly, the flies having nibbled on his circuitry.
You mean you've tried this on other universes?
Yes, of course. And this is the first time I've ever been stopped. It took a robot of such intelligence, cunning, charm, humility, agility, puckish good looks, down-to-earth pluck.
Okay, that's enough, even though I know you could go on.
I really could, but the point is, this is not the last you heard from Baron Von Messingham.
Wait, what did you just say?
That's my full name, Baron Von Messingham. And now I will return to the Messingham universe, where I will regroup, but I will be back.
A portal opened up behind Baron, and the warlock stepped through. Pandolf was being sucked into the vortex as well.
Tiny! Help!
Bebop struggled over to Pandolf and grabbed hold of the doorframe with one arm, and the panda's arm with the other, pulling him free of the portal.
Thank you, Tiny.
You're welcome, friend. But now, unfortunately, I must say goodbye.
Bebop let go of the doorframe and slowly went toward the portal.
No! Tiny!
I have to stop him now, or he's going to do it again. Tell Dr. Percolator that I've gone to the Messingham universe. And tell Whip to wait for me.
Tiny! No! We were going to make you president!
Bebop Tales, chasing warlocks through dimensional portals. Bebop Tales, Bebop Tales.
Okay, so there's a lot to talk about, right?
Oh, Jonathan, you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. And am I to understand from this episode that you chased a warlock named Baron Von Messingham into a portal and then ended up in my house?
Yes.
Does that mean that Baron lives on this world?
On Podcast Planet? Are you kidding? No way. To be honest, once I went into that portal, I lost him in all the interdimensional time warp business, and I must have picked the messenger door instead of the Messingham door.
Well, if you ask me, Bebop, you picked the right door, because now you're here. And like you told Gabriel at the beginning of the show, now you can live in peace. You can tell your stories.
Eat my art.
Sure, yeah. Eat other people's art, but yeah, point taken. Anyhow, let me get out of the way, and why don't you do the honors of bringing home the rest of the finale?
Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, so for the art, I feel like this is momentous because I got the most amazing drawing from Hayden, who is 8 years old and from Connecticut, who drew me. And I look beautiful. But I'm also carrying a book of Bebop Tales, and there's a lot of little neat details in the drawing. It's up now at fincastme.com, so go check it out. Also up there is a gorgeous sunset drawing that 6-year-old Rachel from Seattle drew for me. And there's a flying fish in it. I did not know you had flying fish here on Podcast Planet. Jonathan, this is a really weird world. Also, Rachel drew me a big piece of candy, which looks delicious and will be the perfect way to treat myself after finishing off my worldwide sensation podcast, Bebop Tales. And we also got more art from another brother-sister team, this time from Queensland, Australia. Jack, who is 5, and Marin, who is 7, drew some really cool scenes from Finn Caspian Episode 6, including laser bunnies and all of the monsters from that episode. And Jack even added a little detail with a smashed dreamstone that Marin actually drew you, Jonathan.
What? Really? Where?
See, there I am eating your art, and there you are saying, no.
Oh. Thanks, Marin.
Okay, I think that's the perfect place to end today's menu, and let's head to the jokes. We have a really, really good one from Kevin from New York. So take it away, Kevin.
My name's Kevin Choi, and I'm 6 and a half. I'm from New York, and I'm going to tell you a joke. What do you call a camel with 100 bumps? It is called... Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! Bebop Tales. Bebop Tales, Bebop, Bebop Snails.
Okay, that... that is what I call a surrealist joke. My favorite kind. And also my favorite kind of joke that ends with someone singing my song. Okay, I want to say thank you, humans. I appreciate you listening to my stories, you keeping me well fed while Jonathan was off on vacation, and you sending me jokes to entertain me while I wrote down my stories. Jonathan and I will be back in January with the second season of the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, Bebop's Revenge.
That is not what it's called, Bebop.
The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, Season 2, The Desolation of Bebop.
Nope.
The Bebop Adventures of Finn Bebop.
Bebop, okay. Just wish everyone happy holidays.
Happy holidays, humans.
Yes, happy holidays, humans. And I hope everyone has a great time together with their families. We'll see you with Season 2 in just a few weeks.
Are you a fan of cryptids like Bigfoot? Do you like ancient monsters like the Kraken? Are you ready to face the scariest creature of all? The unicorn? Welcome to The Weirdness, an exciting journey into the weird and unexpected. Join Arlo and Sierra as they host a podcast called The Weirdness, dedicated to exploring the unexplained and weird phenomena, like the Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, the Chupacabra, and more. Unfortunately, they've never actually witnessed any of this weirdness until they track down Bigfoot himself. Turns out, the weirdness is real. And it's everywhere. Now, Arlo, Sierra, and Bigfoot, whose nickname is Beef, set off on a mind-blowing road trip adventure across the globe to find out why the creatures of legends are disappearing and solve the mystery of the creep. Listen to every episode of The Weirdness now on Apple Podcasts or on gzmshows.com. Binge every episode and find every ridiculous creature of legend before they disappear.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Autumn.
And I'm Jasper.
And we're a GZM family. And we want you to listen to our favorite show, Becoming Mother Nature.
I love the one with the Grim Reaper and the zombies.
Do you want to hear your family at the end of a show giving a shout-out? Go to gzmshows.com/shoutout to learn more. That's gzmshows.com/shoutout for a chance to be heard on this show.